It's 12:20 on Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. The board has returned from executive session. We'll do a roll call to ensure board members and staff have returned. Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Here.
Dr. King. Dr. King.
Present. Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Dr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Bryant.
Here.
Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Dr. Sinish.
Here.
My name is Judy Chepius, and we are also joined by Assistant Attorney General Mark Harris. I did not call Mr. Barton's name, assuming he has not returned, but let's just verify that for the record. Mr. Barton? No. Okay. So the board has returned from executive session, and the matter under review at the time was the ADA requirements and the testing accommodations. Dr. Bustillo, board members.
Sorry, I was halfway through my motion before I realized I was on mute. I would move that we instruct staff to look into providing additional training to the board on this subject matter. It seems to be evolving. I have noticed in my discussions in the legal profession that currently 35% of law students are obtaining ADA accommodations. And I don't know what it's like in PT school, but Dr. Hike could tell us. But it's something that's changed since we've received our training. We probably should use some updated training on this.
Second. I would agree. We did have some training that allowed us to be consistent and look at each case individually, but there has been further information that we probably should be as up-to-date as possible on while the issues of ADA continue to evolve.
Agreed. It'd be nice to get something that we can be consistent with and have an understanding of what fits under those ADA accommodations moving forward and things that we should look for when trying to approve or disapprove.
Okay. Any further discussion, or are you ready for the question? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to direct staff to seek additional potential training relative to ADA accommodation requests. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. So next up on your agenda is relative to the drafted substantive policy statement for the alternate approval pathway. So at its December 17th meeting, the board directed staff to draft a substantive policy statement regarding the alternate approval pathway, or AAP. The AAP was implemented in Arizona on January 7th, 2025. A drafted substantive policy statement addresses the use of AAP as well as clarifies the board's determination of the information from a CAPTE-accredited educational institution is considered equivalent to the letter as specified in ARS 32-2024 B2C and D2C. So the drafted policy has been provided for your consideration, as well as ARS 32-2024 and a comparison table of examination eligibility processes, should that prove to be helpful. At this time, I would like to announce for the record that Mindy Richardson has left the meeting. That's at 12:25. So the substantive policy statement is for your review and consideration, and any possible direction that you have for staff.
Judy, in terms of the table that, the comparison table and going forward, would this then go out to all the educational programs that this is a...
Yeah, that would be the, the plan. So at this point, the alternate approval pathway has been implemented. What does that mean? That means that the switch was pulled and FSBPT is now processing. As of your last board meeting, you voted to identify FSBPT as an agent for providing that eligibility.
Right.
The substantive policy statement is exactly what a substantive policy statement is. It further clarifies. Now, there is a process with that, too. It has to be sent to the Secretary of State. It has to be published in the register. So should the board approve it, that those will be kind of the next steps with it. Once all of that occurs, then we can proceed with verifying for the various educational institutions that this process is in place.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So are we needing to approve the policy statement then? At this point?
Mm-hmm. If that's what you choose to do, yes. The policy statement has been drafted. It's up to the board to determine whether any edits are necessary or if they should approve it. We can't enact it without a substantive policy statement. By definition, is something that the board treats as a policy of the way it applies the laws and rules. So it requires board approval.
I would move to approve the policy statement.
Well written. Nice job, Judy.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Was that an actual second from Dr. King? I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah. It's an actual second.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the drafted substantive policy statement related to the alternate approval pathway. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. Next up is some legislative updates. So there's been some moving around of legislation as is typical with any new legislative session. So the 57th legislature first regular session has begun and staff is tracking multiple bills and committee actions. Of note are the following proposed bills: House Bill 2181, titled Physical Therapy Durable Medical Equipment. This is sponsored by APTA AZ and introduced by Representative Bliss. The bill seeks to amend ARS 32-2001 by adding, quote, recommending and prescribing durable medical equipment without requesting a prescription from a licensed physician, end quote, to the definition of physical therapy. In addition, House Bill 2583 for physical therapists, imaging, and laboratory tests. This is also sponsored by the APTA AZ and introduced by Representative Bliss. And this bill seeks to amend ARS 32-2041.01 by striking lingering statute referencing musculoskeletal imaging consisting of plain film radiographs in favor of simply stating imaging. This bill also seeks to add language related to PT's ability to order laboratory tests. So after discovering these bills, I inquired with APTA-AZ directly to determine if additional legislation was being sought and was informed of at least one other bill that they're currently working on, but that is not yet finalized. The anticipated bill will seek to add PTs to providers who can establish disability status for temporary and permanent disability placards through the Arizona Department of Transportation. Kayla Black, who's the committee chair for the APTA-AZ Government Affairs Committee, was unavailable to attend today's meeting and plans to attend the February 25th meeting to update the board at that time. Additionally, APTA AZ, and I've been using that acronym quite freely. That is the Arizona chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. They're hosting their PT Day at the Capitol on February 6, 2025. Since board members may attend this event in their capacity as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, board staff has already submitted a public notice on the website and on at the board office regarding a possible quorum. The APTA AZ is also hosting a virtual meeting on tomorrow evening in preparation of their February 6th event at the Capitol. So in addition to those APTA sponsored bills, there are also some bills of interest, and that's Senate Bill 1037, which was amended by the Committee on Regulatory Affairs and Government Efficiency. Among other things, this bill seeks to amend Title 32, Chapter 32, Article 1 by adding a section regarding board fees and fund balances. This is not specific to the PT board. This is specific to multiple boards. So the bill would require the board to review its fund at a public meeting on at least once each fiscal year and limit the overall fund balance to not more than 2 years of the board's annual operating expenses plus 5%. So what this bill calls for, should that occur, is if the board's fund is more than is allowed, then the board is then required to reduce or eliminate licensing or application fees or both until the balance is again below the allowed amount. Senate Bill 1235 is also for health board, health professional regulatory boards and with its membership. This too affects multiple boards, not just the Board of Physical Therapy. So this bill would impact potentially all health professional regulatory boards by amending the board's membership as introduced. And that was a long document. I highlighted the PT board for you. But as introduced, it would amend our board to 2 physical therapist members, 1 physical therapist assistant members, and 4 public members. That is obviously a departure from our current structure. So I'm happy to attempt to answer any questions, but, you know, these bills, there's still a lot that can happen. But I'm happy to answer those. So in addition to the legislation, there was also a committee action that was fairly impactful or potentially impactful for the PT board. And that is the Health and Human Services Committee of Reference that met on Friday, January 17th. On their agenda was a review of the Massage Therapy Board for a planned 2-year review after that board's sunset review. And after the presentations by the Auditor General and the Massage Board's Executive Director, a vote was passed by the committee to consolidate the Massage Board. In more than one instance during the CORE's brainstorming session that surrounded that vote, the Board of Physical Therapy was mentioned as a potential consideration for consolidation. The board is asked to discuss this and articulate any thoughts or concerns. There's potential that board staff may receive inquiries in this matter, potentially from any individual legislators, legislative committees, or even the governor's office, or potentially others. So staff is requesting direction regarding any potential response should those inquiries arise. These matters are for your consideration and review.
I think one of the things that says in terms of the boards and reducing the number of members on the board of professional members at the very end of that motion says that the current term would stay as is. So if I read that right, then after that, it would be implemented. Is that correct?
Yeah. And the board's in a precarious position because of our current 6 members. We only have 1 with a future expiration term date. Appointees right now, and in speaking with the governor's office, previously appointed board members are able to serve as long as they are willing to do so after their expiration of their term. I don't know how that would be handled, after something like this. I don't know what the propensity for appointing this session is going to be, or the approval, or any of that. So, you know, at this time, what could that look like? That could look like something like we have one board member.
Tough to have a quorum with that.
Very much so. But there are boards that are really struggling with quorums every single month at this time.
Say that again.
Oh. Wow, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, the interest of the public to be involved in a board. I don't know. It's interesting.
It seems, I don't know if they, how they figured that out in terms of the numbers, but it seems based off of the number of professionals within, a group, like, for example, athletic trainers or massage therapists, that they would consider that, in terms of how many members, physical therapists, so there's 10,000 that are somewhere around there. Compared to like athletic trainers, and I don't know what the numbers are for massage therapists, but seems like, you know, the smaller boards could be combined, because adding anything to our agenda would seem like this meeting would go a lot longer.
I suspect the discussion of the board makeup would have to completely go back to the board, to the table, if you combine boards. Because you'd need massage therapy professionals represented as well. And we know jurisdictions that have combined boards, and the discussions at the life meeting are typically not always very positive in managing other professions. Like, you're basically a public member for a massage board, right? I'm not a massage therapist, so I would be probably more like a public member hearing massage complaints, because it's not my wheelhouse. So it's interesting. We do know that there are lots of combined boards out there, but I can tell you the discussions that I've overheard and been part of have not always been really efficient and positive.
So, Judy, if we're going to be approached by others, would the board have a, would we need to have a kind of a statement of along how we think about these concepts?
Yes, that would help to have, your thoughts on the record of,
as opposed to an individual's opinion. That's what I mean.
Right. The board would have, you know, NPT Day at the Capitol is coming up. You are able to join and to discuss those things or visit or whatever that they do. But aside from that, if the board is approached and it's not at all uncommon, regarding legislation for the board to be approached, board staff to be approached to say, okay, you know, what are your thoughts on this? What are your concerns about this? It's not necessarily by the legislators that put the motions forward, but it can certainly be by other interested agencies, perhaps the governor's office as well. You know, these are far-reaching things, and consolidation of that nature would have an extreme impact administratively. There would be you know, questions from the professional members as well, the public members as well, to identify any potential concerns that you might have for something like that. And having that information on the record would be able to be then cited should those questions come.
So we would need a motion to say that we're in support of Fed motions one at a time, and then one that would say that we're not in support. Would that be in place?
Where we can come down, and maybe Mr. Harris can assist with this, where we can come down on potential legislation. I mean, you can certainly place an opinion forth, but whether the board in any of those sessions could say, yes, we're in favor of this, no, we're not in favor of that. Typically a board on legislation will remain somewhat neutral on those, right, on those facts. However, you know, there are certain concerns that can be brought forth. There are, in the manner of discussion, the board can discuss concerns with these types of things. Then if the board is asked for an opinion, we can potentially identify, you know, that some concerns were raised with especially the piece about consolidation. That would be the one that would potentially get the most questions at this point in the process where it is. I do know that that's a lot of questions have been asked in that regard. So I guess at this point, I would just encourage a discussion to see where you stand.
I think the consolidation idea is a bad idea for massage to be included with physical therapy in terms of administrative load, in terms of the cases that we're going to hear. That's not our expertise. So I think that my personal opinion would be that I would not be in favor of that, and I think the other that's asking for less professional members and more public members, I don't know that that's a good idea either, because both Joshes do wonderful jobs, but invite three more public members, and to reduce the professional members dilutes the information. I mean, in terms of hearing the cases and considering the cases, I think having a variety of opinions, practice areas, outpatient, inpatient, home health that we have on the board right now benefits us greatly to have more professional members that work in these different settings, because the cases that come forth for us to review wind up being across these settings. And so if we don't have individuals that are representative of those settings, I think that's a detriment.
I'm in agreement on that as well. I think a majority of the cases that we see are clinically based, and, you know, Mr. Greer and Mr. Barton, I mean, I think they also know when, you know, they want to defer to the clinical members on the board regarding those cases. Much like when something more, I think we're just lucky and are benefiting from the fact that, you know, both Mr. Greer and Mr. Barton happen to be lawyers. But I tend to defer to them a little bit more when it's a legal thing that comes up, you know, like the, you know, getting pulled over for, you know, drinking and driving, or, you know, anything like that that has to do with, you know, them being in legal trouble. So I tend to agree. I think you probably want more clinical members, or you at least want the clinical members to outweigh the public members. And I just don't see switching to the other way around as a benefit.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. And it makes me wonder why this is coming now, after all that work that you did this past summer trying to outline the standards that our board goes through for, you know, to adjudicate every case. You know, the governor's already asked for so much information to help improve consistency and to show that. And I think a big change of the board makeup would change the, maybe not the steps, but the outcomes of the outline that you've already given them.
You may not know know, obviously if this is going on, but is there a chance that there have been complaints raised to the governor's office regarding, you know, cases that were reported by patients, and maybe because of a high number of that, that's why they're looking to potentially make that type of a change? Maybe they're, I don't want to use the word collusion or anything like that, but like maybe they feel like the professional members are siding too much with the therapists in those cases versus the public.
Well, if those kind of complaints come through, they'll typically come through the ombudsman's office, and we haven't really been informed of a lot of that kind of action. In fact, in my tenure, we've only been contacted twice by the ombudsman's office, and that's had to do with applications and mm-hmm. processing applications. But, you know, Karen, to your point, yes, we submitted all of that kind of documentation. That was a request from the governor's office. The legislation that's put forth is typically something that the legislators do. So these are two very distinct arms of government. So it's just, it's something that, these vocal opinions will help should those questions arise. And I encourage again for you to vocalize any kind of, questions, thoughts, concerns that you have about, not only the size of the board and the makeup of the board, but then the consolidation of the board, recognizing that these things happen in, somewhat individual silos. It's not necessarily that they all go together. It's not necessarily that they all combine or that they all make sense together. It's different actions that are being considered at different times and by different groups. So that's there's the question. So if you have any thoughts about consolidation as well, please, by all means, put those on the record so those can be cited at some point, should they need to be.
As for the two House bills, I'm in total agreement with both of those.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess one more point in terms of saying that when we review the other boards, they're getting stipends, and not that I want a stipend, but in terms of the cost for the board, we are continuing to have our meetings through Google Meet, and so our cost to the state is minimal in terms of us meeting. So whether we have, you know, board members expand the board members or decrease the board members, that cost to the state is nothing in terms of that meeting, right? Compared to other boards. So I think just having individuals across different settings, PTA, PTs, and having public members that are fantastic to work with, I wouldn't want to change anything at all in terms of consolidation or in terms of the reducing the number of members. That just, I think it's going to impact our ability to protect the public.
Well said, John.
Yeah, I agree, John. I think we've proven ourselves to be very efficient and very low cost to the state and consistent in what we do. So I don't see any reason why small could think that we could do things differently.
And one of the things, the board is a self-funded board, meaning the licensing fees support this board completely. So at this time, there has not been a fee increase in probably more than 20 years. We don't anticipate that. You know, there are considerations that last session that there was a fund sweep and it was an enormous fund sweep. So that was really, really impactful for a lot of boards. For us, it was certainly impactful for us. However, at the timing that it occurred, with the fact that our renewal cycles are every 2 years, and our renewal cycle is what sustains the board's fund and keeps it going for those 2 years. The timing of that was advantageous for this board. But yes, this board does not draw from the general fund. There are not state funds that support this board in any of its mission. This board does contribute to the general fund through all things. We are now a 85-15. We used to be a 90-10. We are now an 85-15 to where those funds contribute to the general fund. So. Okay. Well, should you think of anything later, about the consolidation efforts, I anticipate you can email thoughts and I can certainly bring it back again next meeting. I anticipate we'll do a legislative update each time moving forward. Okay, so then the next thing is the currently proposed rulemaking, and this is just a quick update because there hasn't been a lot of progress yet, other than the fact that the progress that has been made has been impactful, because we had an oral proceeding and we had the ability on the current proposed rulemaking to accept comments. We've received no comments at all. Nobody showed up at the oral proceeding to make any kind of statement. So now the next steps are just finalizing the economic impact statement and getting it all in front of the governor's office to allow us to move forward to the governor's regulatory review council. So happy to answer any questions in that regard, but I just wanted to keep you up to date on what's going on. And then barring any questions there, the next thing is the financials. Happy to answer any questions. Okay. And following that, the licenses that were granted, licenses, registrations, reactivations. It was a busy month. They all tend to be. And next up would be future agenda items. I see glazed looks over every night. Okay, then the next stop is adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
That motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 12:20. Excuse me. Oh, my watch is off. 12:54. The recording will stop at that same time. Thank you, everybody.